Well, we have in these days been preaching on God's divine interruptions, centered around that little phrase, but God, but God. We've looked at being interrupted by His faithfulness. That little statement, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. We brought some thoughts about being interrupted by His love. Paul said, but God commendeth His love towards us. I bless the day He interrupted me with His love. Butted into my life and told me that He loved me. And we noticed that there was a divine interruption by His mercy. Paul said in Ephesians 2, but God who is rich in mercy. And then on last evening, we noticed that there was a divine interruption by His choice. Paul said, but God hath chosen. Well, I'm glad He didn't leave me to my choice. I'd have never chose Him if He'd have left me alone. But God hath chosen. Tonight, I want us to look a little further at one last little thought. If you have the Bible there, we're interested in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We want to bring a thought or two, if we could, in these last moments together tonight on the subject of being divinely interrupted by His revelation. Divinely interrupted by His revelation. I fear a lot of God's people tonight are making foolish choices. Their life, their testimony evidences that. And I think a lot of it has to do with the pipeline to God's all clogged up. There's no revelation. Making bad choices in marriage, making bad choices in finances, making bad choices with our families. The church is in a disastrous situation. And I think a lot of it is because the pipeline to God's all clogged up. There is the divine interruption of His revelation. You have the Bible there tonight, chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians, verse number 9, Paul said, but it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God, there's a little phrase there. You know, a lot of people say verse 9 is talking about heaven. You know, one day we'll get to heaven and we'll see things that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard. Ain't a bit of that so. Verse number 9 is not talking about heaven. He said God's got things that your eye's never seen, your ear's never heard. But God hath revealed it unto us. Reason why you're not seeing things that eyes never seen, ears never heard, because your pipeline's clogged up. God said, I'd like to show you some things you ain't never seen before. He said, I'd like to show you things that'll crosswire you and make you have a blowout of the head tonight. If you get the pipeline cleared up. He said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You may be seated tonight. Revelation tonight. Paul said in verse number 10, but God hath revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. That little word reveal there means to take the cover off, to disclose, to allow to see. God said, I'd like to let you see everything that I know tonight. He said, I'd like to take the cover off from it. I love what the old songwriter John Newton said, amazing grace, How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I what? See. Revelation tonight. God revealing things to us. You know, everything we do tonight, from salvation to making just minor decisions, ought to be based upon a divine revelation of God. God giving us light on the subject. God giving us the green light or the red light or the caution light upon that subject. Telling us to do it or not to do it. There's no revelation tonight. You walk in the dark. You're left a luck and chance. You're left a possibility. Would you mind the expression tonight? You're left the eeny, meeny, miny, mo without revelation tonight. I don't want that tonight, do you? I want revelation. Of course, you know, so many of us in the Baptist church, our pipeline's so clogged up tonight, we ain't receiving any light. Not receiving any revelation. Of course, you know what rejected light is, don't you? Lightning. You come in this building tonight, something's preached. You say, I can't agree with that. I don't believe that. Rejected light becomes lightning. They come after you tonight. Hear revelation, interrupted by God's revelation. I want us to notice in this text, first of all tonight, there is the standard of revelation tonight. How can I make sure the pipeline between God and I is clear so that He can reveal? Did you notice the text tonight? All things to me. But God hath revealed unto us by His Spirit what I have not seen, ear hasn't heard. Interested in doing that tonight. What is the standard of that revelation? I notice in the text tonight, the standard of revelation would first of all involve us pleading our impotence tonight. Pleading our impotence tonight. How come God would reveal all of this truth to Paul? Wrote over half of the New Testament. Notice his impotence in the text, if you would. Chapter 2 and verse number 2. Paul said, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Oh, the reason why Paul's got a clear line to God. God is revealing things to him. He's showing him things that he's not showing anybody else is because Paul is living the crucified life, the death to self life. And we don't deny ourselves nothing. Feels good, don't do it. Pipeline's clogged up. Making all kinds of decisions based on any, meaning, mind, and mode. It won't work. I notice in this text, pleading our impotence, Paul said in verse number 3, "And I was with you in weakness, feebleness, frailty." Preacher, who does God reveal Himself to? Weak people. Frail people. Impotent people. Paul says in our text, "And in fear," that little word fear, exceeding alarm and terror. Who does God reveal Himself to? He don't reveal Himself to that crowd that's wearing a Nike shirt. "No fear, we ain't scared of nothing." They boo it, take a week to find you. Huh? The people that God is revealing Himself is those that stand in reverential awe and fear of a holy God. Keeps the pipeline clear. We're talking about the standard of revelation. There's a pleading of our impotence. Paul says in verse number 4 and in verse number 3, "And in much trembling, dread, quaking of fear." It is horrified at the holiness of God. That's what kept that pipeline clear tonight. I tell you, if God's going to reveal the deep things to you, that's what He said in verse number 9, "I has not heard it, ear has not heard what's entered into the heart of man. But God hath revealed it unto us." Preacher, how can I keep that pipeline clear? It must be the pleading of our impotence tonight. Before God reveal anything to you tonight, you must recognize that you're spiritually ignorant. Spiritually ignorant tonight. Before God will reveal anything to you, we must admit we know nothing. That's the reason God ain't showing a lot of you anything, because you know it all. Some of you young people tonight, you know it all. You better write a book before you forget it. I was amazed when I was growing up in my daddy's house how I knowed everything. I knowed how cars worked. I knowed how to raise kids. I knew how you ought not to raise them and how you ought to treat them. Man, I knowed it all. I tell you, you'll get nothing from God until you admit you know nothing. Nothing. That's the basis of revelation tonight. You'll not get closer to God. It'll involve us unlearning some things. Coming into a church young like this, maybe this is your first trip into this church, I tell you, revelation will be not only you learning some new things, but unlearning some things that you thought you already knew. Unlearning some things. I don't know what you agree with or not, but I have found that the Bible and a study of it will mess up a lot of things you thought you believed. Some of you have seen some things in the Bible this week made you scratch your head. You, I ain't know that was in the Bible. I ain't know God showed me before the foundation. Well, I ain't know that. Huh? The Bible will mess up a lot of things you thought you believed. See, in Revelation tonight, if you're going to keep the pipeline clear, there must be a pleading of our impotence tonight. But I notice in this text, the standard of Revelation, not only will it involve us pleading our impotence, but there will be a preparation of intimacy. A preparation of intimacy. If one is going to keep the pipeline clear, he must have a strong love relationship with God. Did you notice what verse number 9 said? But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared us. There's an ED on that word. That little word prepared means to make real to. It has the idea to fit ahead of time. Who does God make things real for? Who is it that God will make clear things for? Did you notice who He'll make it for? He said it's prepared for them that love Him. A deep, intimate relationship. It is not just a three-time-a-week deal, or it's not a Sunday deal. It's a seven-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day, passing after a holy God in love with Him. Preacher, what in the world is that going to get me? He said, I'll make everything clear to you. Son, imagine everything being clear to you. Oh, God is interested in revealing things to us. What is it that's clogging up the pipe? A lot of it has to do with our love relationship with Him. You know, I was thinking about this thing of revelation, God revealing things to us. You know, a lot of us think that revelation, God revealing things to us, making things clear to us, would come through our eyes or through our ears. God's got to let us see something. Or let us hear something in order to reveal things to us. I'm here to tell you tonight, God's revelation is not based upon seeing anything or hearing anything. His revelation takes place in here. And He ain't got to put nothing in here, and He ain't got to put nothing in here to make it clear in here. I love the hound out of that, don't you? He said, I have not seen. He said, I don't have to put anything in your eyes. He said, I don't have to put anything in your ears. He said, I can make everything in life clear to you right in here by my divine revelation. You say, preacher, you got any grounds for proving that from the Bible? That God don't have to put anything in here. Don't have to put anything in here. He can make it clear in here. Sure, I wouldn't have brought it up if I couldn't prove it from the Bible. Hold your finger just for a brief second. I want to read you two or three verses out of the book of Isaiah. So magnify this truth of revelation. One of them is Isaiah chapter number 64. We're talking about the standard of revelation. What is the standard of revelation? Pleading our impotence and a preparation of intimacy. Isaiah chapter number 64 and verse number 4. Isaiah said this, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him." Isaiah said, God is not limited to the ear or the eye in order to reveal himself unto man. He said, all he wants man to do is to wait upon him, be still, and know that he is God. Not locked into our eye gate or our ear gate. You still got the Bible there? Isaiah chapter number 52. Isaiah chapter number 52, verse number 15. Isaiah said this, "So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouth at him. For that which he had not been told them shall they see. That which they had not heard, they shall consider." Isaiah said they'll go to thinking and considering things that they ain't heard and they ain't seen. And no word did it get inside of them if it didn't come through their eye gate or through their ear gate. God put it in here. Not limited to coming through your eyes or your ears. Oh, no. God's much bigger than that. He can come inside of you and he don't even need a door. Yeah. Oh, I love the hang on there. That man turning my cranks making me want to shout. Huh? I'm talking about a God that knows everything. Wouldn't you like to know what's ahead? Wouldn't you like to know if the devil's fixing to blindside you? Tell you what, you keep the pipeline clear. God said, I'll show you things that I can't show you, ear can't show you. You still got that Isaiah passage there? Oh, this one will knock your socks off. I saved this one for last. I hate to even read it to you. I know you ain't going to believe it. Get Isaiah 65, verse number 1. Isaiah said this, "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name." Isaiah said they didn't ask to seek me, and he said all of a sudden they found themselves seeking me. He said, some of them weren't seeking me at all, and they were found by me. He said, some of them weren't even a calling on me, but they heard from me. I'm telling you tonight, God does not need your eyes nor your ears. You can be blind and deaf tonight, but God can feel, reveal himself to you and I if we'll keep the pipeline clean, pleading our impotence tonight and preparing our hearts with a loud feast for a holy God to reveal things to us. Oh, I'm interested in it, aren't you? But God hath revealed it. Not only do I see in this text the standard of revelation, but I see in this text the search of revelation. Preacher, just what could God show me if he wanted to? Well, I'll let you be the judge. Watch the text back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We're talking about the search of revelation. I notice in verse 10 of our text, there is an omniscient search. A what? An omniscient search. The little word omniscient means all-knowing. I didn't know if you knew it or not. I didn't know if anybody had told y'all. Has anybody come by here and told you that God knows everything? Now, if you got somebody inside of you that knows everything, I tell you what, you want to be right close to Him. Huh? You don't want to be on the outs with a know-it-all. Some of you live with a know-it-all. Kind of hard to deal with. But I'm telling you, Jesus is a bona fide true know-it-all. Knows everything. Watch the text. He says in verse 10, but God hath revealed it among us by His Spirit. So the Spirit searcheth all things. He's an omniscient God. He is an all-knowing God. He knows everything. Oh, why wouldn't I want to keep the lost line clear? Why wouldn't I want to plead my ignorance? Why would I want to try to figure, get my little old computer going? Maybe if I rob the Paul, I can pay Peter. Just ask God, I want to know what's right to do. Tired of trying to figure. Tired of playing eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I'm losing. Why not just turn Him here? Check with the know-it-all. He knows all things. Huh? Tell you what He'll do. He'll let you in on secrets. Huh? Oh, He'll keep you from being blindsided. He'll keep you from making bum fuddle mistakes. He'll find you and bless you and cause you to be successful tonight. Oh, when we acknowledge His all-knowingness tonight, the omniscient search. And I notice in this text, talking about the search of Revelation now, not only is there an omniscient search, but there's an overwhelming search. Verse number 10 said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Oh, that little word deep there is profound, mysterious, secret things. Things nobody else doesn't know. Oh, I don't know about you. I want in on those secret things, don't you? Preacher, how can I get in on them secret things? Keep that pipeline of love and intimacy between Him clear. Plead your impotence. You know what I'd love to see in the Baptist church? I'd love to see a Baptist church full of clueless people. Man, you're talking about God using a Baptist church full of clueless people. Christ is my... I wish we could find us a clueless president. Huh? I wish we could find a clueless Congress. I would love to see somebody come on Fox News, and when they ask them a question, they say, I am clueless as to what to do. Maybe we ought to pray and ask the all-knowing God what we ought to do. Huh? Instead of all that jumbo bumbo of talking around and around and around and around, and when they get done talking and they go off the air, you're stuck in your head saying, what did they say? Clueless. See, God reveals the deep things of God. God will He'll make the unbelievable believable. I saw John MacArthur not too long ago on Fox News, and I don't know, they had two or three other reprobates on there with him. I think they had a Catholic priest and Jewish rabbi and something else. I don't know what else. They had four of them on there. Had them in those little picture frame boxes, you know. And one of them asked old MacArthur if he believed in the virgin birth. He said, well, yeah. He said, I believed in the virgin birth when I was lost. But I've always believed in the virgin birth. And that old guy made this statement. I don't believe I'll ever forget it as long as I live. He asked MacArthur. He said, you mean to tell me that you believe that a ghost came from outer space, came on a little Jewish virgin girl in Jerusalem and caused her to have a baby? Old MacArthur laughed. He said, I ain't never heard it put like that. He said, I believe it with my whole heart. And he said, it sure is unbelievable. Amen. Huh? I believe it with all my heart that a ghost
came from outer space by the name of the Holy Ghost. He came upon Mary, little old Jewish girl, never had a relationship with a man, and caused her to have a baby. Preacher, how do you know that? But God has revealed unto him. Secret things, deep things. God wants to keep us abreast of what is coming next. Keep us from being blindsided. Preacher, how in the world can I keep that pipeline clear? Oh, he has prepared it for them that love him, that intimacy, those that will plead their impotence, their cluelessness. Could I mention this little thought tonight? We looked at the standard of revelation. We looked at the search of revelation. Can I mention tonight the source of revelation? Who is it that reveals things to us? The Bible tells us in verse number 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. I was a-wondering tonight. I'll start right over here. Just go down the road. Come back over this side. Just ask you to stand up. Tell us tonight real briefly, maybe in a sentence or two, what's your relationship with the Holy Ghost? What would you tell us? Hello. I see over your head a cloud that says, Dora! See, there can't be no revelation apart from the Holy Ghost. And you know, some of you looked at me like you didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the source of revelation tonight. I notice in this text and the surrounding areas of the Bible there is a receiving association. There are two things, two experiences that you can have with the Holy Ghost. Two experiences you can have with the Holy Ghost. I'm wondering tonight if you've ever had any experience with the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about having an experience with Jesus. I'm talking about having an experience with the Holy Ghost. Because if you ain't never had an experience with the Holy Ghost, you ain't never had an experience with Jesus. You listening to me? Two experiences you can have with the Holy Ghost. Number one, you can experience the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Experience the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm asking you tonight, have you ever experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You listening to me? Preacher, I don't know if I've ever experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Would you make yourself a note? Now you think about it later. If you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to hell when this is over. You listening to me? Amen. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is it, preacher? Romans chapter number 6, Paul made this statement. He said, we were baptized by the Spirit into Christ. The only way you can get saved tonight is if the Holy Ghost takes you against your choice, his choice being the mandated choice, overpowering your choice, and taking you and baptizing you, immersing you into Christ. It's called salvation. Have you ever experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You have history tonight that the Holy Ghost took you, placed you into Christ. There can be no revelation. God will not reveal to you the secret things unless you have been placed into Christ by the Holy Ghost. Second experience that you can have with the Holy Ghost is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, words in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. I was a wonder tonight. Before we just start over here, just go down the rows. Have you stand up tonight. Stand up and tell us about your experience when God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Of course, I've taught all my life, you get all the Holy Ghost you're going to get when you get saved. There's the feeling. Ain't a bit of it so. Oh, I don't doubt that I got all of him when I got saved, but there's one itchy bitsy little problem. He didn't get all of me. Yeah, exactly right. Feeling of the Holy Ghost, when God kicks the bottom end out of you and empties you of you, and begins to flow through you in power. I'm just going to run through this real quick
Don't have a lot of time to spend in it. Of course, I do have time. I don't know if you have time or not, and I'm not going to push the issue. But the receiving association. I just want to just compare those two experiences tonight. Being baptized by the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost. In comparing them tonight, I noticed one thing about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is never commanded in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does God ever command you to get saved. Why would He want to command you to do something you can't do? We are born of the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, the Spirit is like a wind. He said, it blows where it listeth or where it willeth. He said, you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. And such is everyone that is born from above. Never commanded. But on the other hand, being filled with the Spirit, having the bottom end kicked out of you, being emptied of you and being filled with Him is an imperative command in the Bible. You're commanded to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm asking you, not went through the crowd now and just asked, just stand up. Give us your testimony about when God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Man, I tell you what, I remember it like it's yesterday. I remember when I got saved. Oh, gracious, do I remember when I got saved. I remember the night God filled me with the Holy Ghost. First experience I ever had with the Holy Ghost in Hendersonville, North Carolina, little old country church. Oh, I've been raised. I went to Bob Jones. That's where I took all my education. You know, they taught you the deader you were, the better you were. I preached 15 years before I knew there was the Holy Ghost. Oh, I tell you what, in that little old country church that night, God kicked the bottom end out of me, itching me of myself, and filled me like I'd never been filled before. It's commanded in the Bible. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is never commanded. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, it is commanded in the Bible. I noticed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a once-for-all deal. It never needs to be repeated. If you've ever been taken by the Spirit and placed into Christ, you'll never have to do it again. She's a done deal. Matter of fact, He said after He did it, He sealed you with the Holy Ghost upon. But on the other hand, being filled with the Spirit, it is again and again and again that we need to be filled with the Spirit. I love what the little old gal in the church said. She was sort of slow, and she was bad to talk out. You know how sometimes someone is that persuasion's like that. There was an old boy in the church, when he'd be praying, he'd always get in a big way and just keep repeating his phrases. One night he was in a big way, and he kept praying, "Oh, God, fill me! Oh, God, fill me! Oh, God, fill me!" She hollered out, she said, "God, don't do it, he leaks!" Oh, it has to be repeated over and over again. How come? Oh, this world has a way of leaking us out. We begin to fill up with ourselves again. God must bring us through experiences. It'll be physical experiences or emotional experiences or financial experiences where we're brought up short. God will kick the bottom end out of it just again. Empty us of ourselves and fill us afresh and new with Himself. Oh, once for all for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Being filled is an again and again relationship. I thought this was interesting. Baptism of the Holy Ghost places me in the body of Christ with no assurance of power. You listening to me? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just because you're saved tonight and on your way to heaven does not guarantee you have power. Baptism of the Holy Ghost places you into Christ but does not assure you of any power. But on the other hand, being filled with the Holy Ghost releases unto you and I all power in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. Oh, tonight, would we not want to keep the pipeline clear of intimacy? Would we not want to plead our impotence tonight that God might fill us with all power? Oh, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. This places us in the body. There's no guarantee of power. Oh, to be filled with the Holy Ghost releases to us all power. To be baptized in the Holy Ghost just adds us to the church, the body of Christ. That's all it does for us. Just gives you heaven. That's all. But oh, to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. He will do wonders and miracles and great things for you in the church tonight. He will do unbelievable things through that one who is filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, I'm interested tonight. Having that pipeline clear. Having an intimate relationship with Him. I'm interested in pleading my impotence, my ignorance tonight. God filling me with all power, with all knowledge tonight. Oh, I'm talking about the receiving association. Watch the text. Chapter 2 and verse number 13. Not only is there the receiving association, but there is the releasing association. It says in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. I tell you what, if you've been baptized by the Holy Ghost into Christ, and you've been filled with the Spirit, you'll begin to go out here in the world and not share with them an invitation to church. You will not share with them your testimony. I didn't know if you know it or not. Your testimony is not inspired. But this is. You can take this down to work, share a little bit of this from them at work, and it can wake them up in the middle of the night and go to bugging them. But you're going to have to be full of the Holy Ghost so that you can compare spiritual things with spiritual things. When they speak of a problem that they're having, maybe a problem in their family, you hear them talking about it. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, God's going to bring things back in this world. He's going to jump up in your heart. Maybe a sermon you've heard preached, something you've been reading, something you've been studying, it'll jump up in your heart and mind, and you'll go to share it. God will be on it. He'll speak it in their heart and save their soul. Listening to me tonight? I'm talking about being interrupted by His revelation. Tell the relationship you got with the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, I'm confident tonight that if we've been placed into Christ by the baptism of the Spirit, we've been filled with the Spirit. Oh, we've been filled with all knowledge, all power. But I tell you what, most Baptists tonight are walking around like they don't even know where they're going. And he can't even pay the Sears and Roebuck's bill. They're talking about they got somebody inside of them that glue's going to take them way out yonder to a place called heaven. Oh, I'll tell you what. We need a greater relationship with the Holy Ghost. I come across this old song. It was written in the 1800s by an old Puritan. I love the hound out of its words. The words say, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. My stubborn will subdue. Teach me in words of living flame what Christ would have me do. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fill me with power divine. Kindle a flame of love and zeal within this heart of mine. Holy Spirit, breathe on me till I am thine own. Till my will is lost in thine to live for thee alone. The old chorus says, breathe on me, breathe on me. Oh, Holy Ghost, breathe on me. Take now my heart. Cleanse every part. Breathe on me. Oh, Holy Ghost, breathe on me. Oh, I tell you what. Liberty Baptist has any chance of making it. We'll need continual fresh breaths of God every time we meet together. Huh?
If you're going to make it through this dark and foolish world, Satan's on every corner. He's trying to Van Hoosier, you're trying to get you to make dumb decisions. You'll need the breath of God upon you.
The God who knows everything, who is all-powerful.
Talking about being interrupted tonight by His revelation. Would you stand with us tonight?